I was with the Great Falls Community Food Bank for 6 years prior to this, and we were a redistribution organization for MFBN.
What does that mean, redistribution?
We kind of helped to assist them get out into greater areas. We were also a distribution center. We did not do direct service and do emergency food boxes, but we had agencies of our own that we served, very similar to what MFBN does, just on a Cascade County level.
How did you get into this field to begin with?
You know, actually, I was with a direct service provider for many years. I've been in the nonprofit sector for about 20, and most of that is being in direct service. I worked with a domestic violence shelter and got very interested in the efforts that were going on as far as assisting people that were in poverty with food needs, and really what a foundation that is for any future success. I mean, you can't be good in school, you can't be good in your job if you're hungry. So when I came to the food bank in Great Falls, it began to really come to me as being a really critical part. I mean, salary is one thing, but you can't go out and get a successful job unless you're full.
How do you at the Montana Food Bank Network, and maybe this is a weird question, define hunger?
Well, there's different levels of it. There's something called food insecurity, and that is basically not knowing where your next meal is going to be coming from on a regular basis. And we do have about 1 in 7 adults here in Montana are considered to be food insecure. Then there's also just the infrequency, and maybe there's food in their household, but they might not be eating regularly. And then there's those individuals who are just from month to month maybe struggling a few days out of the month. They might be getting support from disability or from unemployment, but the check doesn't go far enough, and there's maybe 3 or 4 days out of the month that they're needing help.
So does this all go back to poverty?
It really does. You know, and I guess I'm just a big advocate of the whole foundation of it. It is going to be making sure that we have employable wages here in Montana. Most individuals, or all individuals that are receiving emergency food assistance or SNAP or summer food program, their kids are participating in that, all are not making a livable wage. And so when you figure 1 out of 7 Montanans on the severe side of the food insecurity are not making a livable wage to be able to provide for themselves and their families, very basic.
Livable wage is always kind of a bit of a controversial topic in some circles, and certainly in a state like Montana, where you're not going to get rich in many cases living here. Yeah,
right. And really, a livable wage is defined as over $10 an hour. So you figure anybody who is working even 1 or 2 minimum wage jobs are not going to be able to provide adequately for their families. And then we have to look, we're a very retail service oriented state as far as employment is concerned. And even within agriculture, if you're not the ranch owner, you're not making full wages. So we're seasonal. There's just a lot of issues that go on here in Montana that make it very challenging for people to be able to make an affordable wage.
There are a lot of people who don't believe hunger is a serious problem in America. There's always something we can eat.
Not necessarily so. One of the things that we suffer here in Montana, and you'll see in a lot of other bordering states and other states that are very rural, is we have something called food deserts. And we may be a very food-rich country, but if you live in a very rural community and your closest grocery store is 80 miles away, and you've got a car with 200,000 miles on it, and you have a tough time even, you know, getting that to start on a day-to-day basis, it's really very challenging for them. Then they go to those grocery stores that are so far away, and it's incredibly expensive. It might just be the one grocery store in a very rural area, and so their food is pretty expensive and not within their affordability.
Then how do you explain obesity in America?
You know, that's a feast or famine type of a thing, to put it in simplicity. You will find that people in poverty, when they do have money, they do have food, they basically just really enjoy it. And that's what happens when you get into the obesity cycle in poverty. You get maybe 3 or 4 days out of the month, they have their checks come in, possibly they have their SNAP access, or they get an emergency food box. They eat really well for a few days, and then there's nothing for a few days. And so it's that real feast or famine that just messes up your metabolism. It's just, it becomes a trend for them. And they don't always make the good choices either. I mean, it's a matter of just making sure that you have food in your pantry, not necessarily nutritious food.
So junk food, chips, whatever, pizza.
Which sometimes that's the most affordable thing, too. Huh. You know, you can go get a $5 pizza, but good luck trying to get a decent salad for that somewhere. Yeah.
So then how well are organizations like the Montana Food Bank Network and the pantries you work with keeping up with this need in Montana?
You know, we've saw some increase in the last few years, obviously, when the economy kind of went down a little bit. And so that was a real struggle for a lot of families. But I think it's always been an issue here because we do have distribution problems. We do have food deserts here. We do have low wages in our state. And that has not changed. So that's always going to be a consistent issue. What we are starting to see now versus, say, 4 or 5 years ago is people who were maybe living on the edge but still surviving on their own are not making it anymore. The unemployment rates might be really attractive right now, but that's individuals who are working 2 or 3 jobs to keep their head above water. They're employed, but they're not employed high enough, or they have just dropped off the unemployment rolls, which is a whole other controversy that we talk about. But it's not necessarily that we're improving as an economy here in our state, but I think people are just learning to adapt better to it, and maybe they're eating 2 meals instead of 3, or they're getting some more assistance for their children, or they're going without themselves and an adult to make sure that their kids eat.
And that applies Great Falls, Missoula, no matter where you are.
Throughout the state, we have a hunger study that the Montana Food Bank does every other year. And we ask families about how often do you give up a meal in order for your children to eat. And it's more frequently than we'd like to believe. I think at least a third of the families say that they give up on a regular basis meals so that their child can eat.
That's so foreign to me. I'm very fortunate. When I get hungry, I have no question about I'm going to get breakfast, lunch, snacks, dinner. It's just a very foreign concept to me and maybe many other people.
And it is, you know, to think that you have to open the cupboard and there'll be nothing there. I mean, we're pretty fortunate. We go home and you stand there in the front of your refrigerator and you try to decide what looks good for dinner. And you take a family in poverty who are living in a food insecure situation, you open up that refrigerator and you might have a couple condiments and, you know, that kind of thing. And that's about it. There isn't much else in there. I've heard a story of a woman who told me one time that they had a jar of this prickly pear jam that somebody had given them in a food basket one time, and the kids all got all grossed out about it, but she stuck it in the cupboard, and that became their barometer. They knew when the only thing that they had left was that prickly pear jam in their cupboard, they were in dire straits. So that was kind of the security level that the kids had. As long as, even if there was a box of macaroni and cheese sitting next to it, they knew they were okay. But if there was nothing next to it, then they knew they were in trouble.
Well, that's kind of depressing.
It really very much is, and I think you hear that story more and more often than we would care to.
Okay. Gail, we're standing here in the Montana Food Bank Network warehouse. We're looking at all sorts of canned foods at the moment. What are we looking at in terms of supply? How well set up are you right now?
Well, one of the things that we hope within our distribution warehouse is that we don't have a lot sitting in our warehouse, because to us, the idea of getting it out there is getting it out there quickly and frequently. So you see that we don't have a lot in our warehouse, but that isn't because necessarily we don't have it available to us right now. It means we're trying to get it out into the community. Now, is it enough? No. We distribute a little over 7 million pounds a year, but we also serve 176 agencies, and they're doing high levels of distribution as well. So when you look at the distribution on that, it's not much per pantry that we're getting out there, and we would love to be able to increase that.
Increase how?
Through food donations, food drives. If you can even assist us, or if you can assist one of the partner agencies, that is definitely a benefit for all of us to make donations. And if they want to make a reoccurring donation or a one-time donation, they have an access through our website at mfbn.org. We do have an online donation button there. We also love to have volunteers. So if you've got a group that wants to come down, we always need help in the warehouse. We've got a repackage room that we take bulk product and break it down into consumer size. We're looking for help that way. So there's many, many different ways that you can help out, not only the Montana Food Bank Network, but all of our partner agencies.
How far is a dollar getting you these days?
Well, we have taken a look at that just recently because, of course, the cost of living is going up and food prices and fuel prices and so on. And we are right now, for every dollar that you donate, it provides 6 meals. Last year it was 7 meals, and it's changing a little bit because of the cost of all of the transportation issues and food issues. We have a number of different resources that we get our food from. We work with Feeding America, and we're a part of that network. We also get a lot of food donated. We have something called the Grocery Rescue Program, where we go around to all the major retailers and pick up their product that has either had its best buy sell by date or is just an item that they cannot get. And then we also have a food purchasing program as well. So that's where a lot of the donated dollars go to, is in transportation and purchasing those items that we don't have access to in any other way.
When a lot of people think about volunteering, donating, they think maybe Thanksgiving, Christmas, that's got to be the toughest time. And here we are heading into summertime. A lot of us focused on our vacations, our plans. Mm-hmm. So maybe, I don't know, is it tough this time of year or not?
It is, because that's when I think just traditionally donors aren't necessarily having donations first and foremost in their mind. During the holidays is a real charitable mindset for a lot of individuals, but during the summer is not. But when you think about all of the children particularly that are benefiting from free and reduced lunch programs, they might be participating in the backpack program that MFBN sponsors at a number of schools. They have access through their school network. But when school is out, all of that goes away. So now the families that are having to spend additional monies in order to provide for their kids three meals instead of just one meal a day. And that's a real strain on a family when your budget doesn't change at all through the summer months. And in some cases, it really does get reduced.
Okay, so again, mfbn.org.
Right, and that's a good place to be able to look at what type of distribution we do, the agencies we serve, make a donation. There's all kinds of access information on that. Remember that it's not hunger lasts all year long. It's not just during Christmas, Thanksgiving. It is all year long, and we want to make sure that the families in need out there are taken into consideration all the time. So when you sit down and you have that barbecue with your family this summer, remember that there's a family out there that is struggling just to put even cereal in the bowl, let alone a steak.
Gail Gifford, CEO, Montana Food Bank Network. Thanks a lot for your time and for the work you do as well.
Oh, thank you very much, and we look forward to working with anybody that would love to give us a call.